then south force 6 to gale force 8, later veering northwest and moderating. Rain at first, becoming showery later, moderate to poor visibility.
Wow. Oh, I think this is one of those anxiety dreams. You know, like, you wake up in bed and you're surrounded by thousands of people all looking at you, expecting some form of entertainment. That is a really bad one. But you're not real, are you? You're not real? No, you're not real. I've been reading all about you in this book. Psychologist Carl Jung has told me all about you. This book, Liber Novus, it's all about man and his symbols, and we all have a shared library of images and stuff that we all dream about, and you know, the neck here and... Well, perhaps an expert could explain it a bit better than me. Meet Kevin. He's a Jungian scholar.
The real defining feature for Jung was that there was a deeper level to the unconscious called the collective unconscious. And this really is this wellspring of both fear and creativity all combined into one. So for instance, why is it that we all have dreams of the ocean and sea monsters? Well, for Jung, these are archetypal representations and symbols. And anyone across all the different cultures may be able to have these dreams at one point or another in their lives. When we dream of water, Jung is actually saying we're entering the realm of the unconscious.
Exactly. That is what I meant to say. Tonight, in this special Wireless Nights prom, we have a once-in-a-lifetime two-for-one offer. Yes? We're going on a voyage to the bottom of the sea, but also a voyage to the bottom of ourselves. To help us on our way, we have the BBC Philharmonic, plus some real people who have had real life and death experiences beneath the ocean waves.
All at sea again, and now my hurricane have brought down this ocean rain to bathe me again. My ship's sail, can you hear its tender frame screaming from beneath the waves, screaming from beneath the waves. On deck at dawn, sailing to sadder shores, I'm port in my heavy storm, harbors the darkest thoughts. At dawn, sailing for sadder shores. You're port in my heavy storm harbors the darkest thoughts. Oh, let's see again.
Yes, if we're serious about going on this trip, then we're going to have to learn how to hold our breath underwater. Now, who better to teach us how to do that than Sam? Because Sam is a free diver. She dives down to the depths without the aid of an oxygen tank. And she wears a giant monofin on her feet, which for all the world makes her look like an actual bona fide mermaid, a potent dream symbol if ever there was one.
So I lie there, straight on my back, almost like being in bed, being rocked by the waves, with one hand on my belly to remind me to breathe all the way down to my abdomen. One hand on my mask to equalise my ears, ready to make my descent. Three big breaths, that'll get me calm enough. So a really, really big exhale. I normally shut my eyes when I'm doing this, but at night time it's just irresistible to look at the stars, look at the moon. Clear my ears, roll over, and kick for the bottom.
The submersible was basically a sphere because it was designed to go far deeper than conventional Navy submarines. Very cramped.
Sam dives for pleasure. Roger, who you just heard from, does it as part of his job. He and his colleague, also called Roger, could make communicating with the mothership a bit difficult. Roger that? Who? Roger? Roger who? Where? The two Rogers are laying transatlantic communication cables on the ocean floor.
On the submersible, there was a small cassette player, and we could take down the music you'd like to listen to during the dive.
If you were doing a very, very hairy dive, the effect of having a bit of organ music, specifically Bach, was that it quietened the sub and you just got on with the job.
So, just another night, laying cables on the ocean bed, with old Johann Sebastian Bach providing the drive time music. Or is it?
After we'd finished our spell on the seabed, the nearer we got to the surface, we realised that the surface weather conditions were quite rough.
It was very, very rough.
Gale force 8, later veering northwest and northwest.
I think it was the worst surface condition I ever was in.
We heard the alarm go off, and it sort of staccato beat, if you like, bleep, bleep. But this soon became a solid alarm. And then there was a huge sort of thunderclap of noise.
And just disappeared off the surface, just like that.
We were hurtling backwards and downwards. And you were just hoping that you would survive the impact.
But even if they did survive the impact, would they ever be found? Now, Carl Jung might call this the start of their Nekia, a term he borrowed from Greek mythology, meaning the night sea journey, a plunge into the unknown. In a letter he sent to his wife in 1909, after a particularly rough Atlantic crossing, Jung wrote, "The sea is like music. It has all the dreams of the soul within itself and sounds them over. We'll come back to Roger and Roger later. In the meantime, why don't we check on Sam? Remember her? The free diver?
I don't need to swim much anymore. I'm free falling. Just holding my body straight and streamlined so that I can cut through the water, and one big kick may get me from 10 metres to 15 metres.
Mermaids have been a symbol of the allure and potential danger of erotic abandon since time immemorial. They're what Jung referred to as a primordial image. No one invented the mermaid. She's a product of our collective unconscious. And her power is strong.
When you're freediving, you can get much closer to the sea life than you can with a tank and bubbles and noise and equipment. You're much freer to move. You arrive more quickly and much more quietly. You can merge more with a shoal of fish. You can swim through a shoal of fish and they will not swim away. Round the reefs, you get shoals of glass fish, little tiny see-through fish, and you can swim through them and they won't even move. As you get to the bottom at night, the lionfish are out hunting, big pointy spines, beautifully all sprayed out.
It was pitch dark. We couldn't see anything.
The Rogers have finally hit rock bottom, and they have no idea how, or indeed if, they'll get back up to the surface.
We were on our own, 150 miles out in the Atlantic. There was nothing for hundreds of miles.
All we knew was we had to use whatever resources we had to keep alive, which was one can of lemonade, half a sandwich, and the oxygen we had in the two cylinders. I reckoned we had about 72 hours left.
You are swimming down to the edge of consciousness. There's actually a chemical effect going on in our brains. The technical term is nitrogen narcosis. It's also called the martini effect, because it makes you feel slightly tipsy.
Martini effect? I may have to get into this freediving lark. Shake and not stir, if you don't mind. Cheers.
As I get deeper, under greater pressure, then things lose their perspective and it's easy to get carried away. So rather than thinking, I can feel the signs, I need to go back up, I might see an octopus just below me and think, I'm going to carry on down, I'm going to play with him, I'm going to have a look at that. The most romantic name for it is the rapture of the deep.
Their eyesight is incredibly highly adapted. They have massive eyeballs.
You are about to hear from Clyde, our final fellow undersea traveller.
So you know that this animal is going to be able to see you long before you are able to see it, if you ever do see it.
Just like Jung, Clyde's interest is in sea monsters. He is looking for the big one, the elusive giant squid.
As it comes across in front of the sub, you would see the gigantic eye, the size of a human head, and then the long arms and the very long tentacles trailing off behind. Big suckers on their arms, and they have teeth, sharp teeth on these sucker rings. 60 feet in total length. As a matter of fact, I was actually hoping, I really did hope, that a giant squid would come along and take exception to our being in its territory and attack. Can you imagine?
Clyde can leave the monsters and come up for air anytime he wishes. meanwhile, the Rogers time is ticking away, as are their oxygen levels.
The significant thing on day two was that the mothership had to return to Cork to pick up a rescue submersible or two. The mothership left us on the seabed, and so I felt isolated. Day two was lonely.
This is their Nekia. This is their night sea journey. It's almost like the darkest and deepest journey you take within your own soul.
Okay, Kevin. But maybe there's such a thing as going too deep? Ask Sam.
I was heading down fast, and I was enjoying my descent, and I kept going down and down and down, and I was going down a rope that didn't have a limit on it. At this point, things changed quite quickly, and I panicked, and I couldn't control my right leg and my left leg. I was getting confused about which had kicked first. I was losing my coordination, starting to go faster, thinking about pulling on the line, starting to panic. And that's the last thing that I remembered on that dive.
The beginning of the activity on day three was the ship returning with two submersibles on board. Problem was, they couldn't find us. Nothing could find us. They were sort of going all over the place, and eventually the controller said, "Will you sing a song, and they will listen to you, and what we call fly down the bearing." So they follow the noise, which is what they did.
Long afloat on shipless oceans, I did all my best to smile, till your singing eyes and fingers drew me loving to your isle, and you sang, "Sail to me, sail to me, let me enfold you. Here I am, here I am, waiting to hold you." Did I dream you dreamed about me? Were you here when I was flotsam? Now my foolish boat is leaning, broken love lone on your rocks. For you sing, "Touch me not, touch me not, come back tomorrow. Oh my heart, oh my heart, shies from the sorrow." Puzzled as the newborn child, I am riddled as the tide. Should I stand amid the breakers, or should I lie with death my bride? Hear me sing, swim to me, swim to me, let me enfold you. Here I am, here I am, waiting to hold you.
The rescue submersible eventually ended up alongside us. And I suppose that was the end of that phase because they ran out of power.
Time was ticking away and our oxygen was ticking away.
By Saturday morning, this was like 72 hours, I knew we were in the death zone. Any minute now, we would run out of vital life support. And suddenly, we were told to stand by for...
You're going to be lifted.
Well, it sounds like the Rogers could be about to awake from their nightmare, and not a moment too soon. Or is it?
The first part of the lift was quite calm until we got to 200 feet below the surface.
We were going end over end over end, right over and over and over.
And it was that violent. I don't think I really had much faith that we were going to survive this. As we came clear of the water, all I could see was a sort of drenching of the water coming off the submersible.
After quite a lot of minutes, the hatch exploded open.
I looked up and there was the sky. There was the way out. In terms of actual measuring the amount of oxygen we had left in the bottles, it was... literally minutes.
And then we got back onto the mothership and it was almost as if it had never happened.
There wasn't a soul around. And I walked about 100 yards through a hangar door. I saw nobody and I walked into my cabin and closed the door. I wrote in my log in a big felt tip pen, which is I've still got Pisces 3 dive ended 86 and a half hours. Just as a routine, it was on my desk. And to me, it was finished, you know, it was done.
Almost as if it had never happened, like you woke up and it was all a dream. That's the frustrating thing about dreams. They're really only of significance to ourselves. We may all swim together in the same ocean every night, but the treasure we bring back to land is just a pile of driftwood to anyone else. A dream is only worth something to the dreamer. So does that mean that in the end, dreams are essentially useless? Oh no, of course not. Isn't that right, Clyde?
You never give up hope. You never give up hope. It's almost par for the course. You say, well, golly, we didn't see it this time. We know it's there. It's like hunting anything. It's the quest. You know it's out there, so the idea is to keep trying. You never give up hope.
When we're traveling the sea, we're going to meet monsters. We're going to meet things that are preventing us, like Odysseus, from reaching our ultimate goal. But the real strength of the hero is his or her ability to transcend these difficulties. And what Jung took from this and how he interpreted Greek mythology and the night sea journey is that it is this symbolic action of rebirth, becoming who you were born to be.
I guess that just about ties everything up. The Rogers are back on board their ship. Clyde's making his way back to port, empty-handed this time. Have I forgotten anybody? Have I? What? Oh, Maxime. Oh, thank you, Maxime. I seem to have forgotten Sam. Remember her? She was getting out of her depth last time we heard from her, and she has been holding her breath for an awfully long time. Sam?
I woke up on the surface. And I was convinced I could hear a bell ringing. I dived a lot in the UK, and there's a bell on the Manacles Rocks off the Lizard near where I live in Cornwall that tolls. I could hear this bell. I was convinced I was there, but I wasn't. And then I came round. Everything was okay. It was only really that night when I was back on my own at home thinking about it and realising quite how close I'd come that it started to frighten me.
Hebrides, Merlin. Wind south, force 5 or 6, increasing to 4.
Phew. I think everyone is home and dry at last. You know, perhaps the reason that the shipping forecast helps us to fall asleep is not just because it's a reliable, cosy feature of the airwaves, an oral comfort blanket. Maybe hearing about all those storms and gales out at sea and picturing the ships being buffeted by the waves makes us feel that little bit gladder to be safely and calmly laid in our own beds at home. And on that note, it really is time for us to say goodnight. Or should that be bon voyage? Now it's time to say goodnight. Good night, sleep tight. Now the sun turns out his light. Good night, sleep tight. Dream sweet.